From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Pulsing back to life after it was abruptly shuttered a year ago as a print publication, Baltimore Beat returns as an online news source. Managing editor Brandon Soderberg talks about why the Beat's resurrection is important to local news coverage. And editor-in-chief Lisa Snowden-McRae shares her vision of what the future Beat could provide for Baltimore and for the face of journalism.
We're calling it an outlet, a media outlet, because really that means it can be whatever we want it to be. It can be a podcast. It can be maybe documentaries one day. It can be educational events. So it is what we can imagine it to be.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. In November 2017, after City Paper, which was owned by the Tribune newspaper chain, died, the new alternative weekly Baltimore Beat was born. 4 months later, it closed, abruptly, its publisher, citing as the reason unsustainable advertising revenue. Today, March 6th, 1 year to the day after it closed, Baltimore Beat pulses back to life. Its rebirth is driven by two of the original staff members picking up their previous roles, Brandon Soderberg, managing editor, and Lisa Snowden-McRae, editor-in-chief. They're here to bring us up to speed on the Beat. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you back with us. Brandon, at the sudden news of Beat's closing last year, you tweeted, advice, own the thing. And now you do.
Yes, yes. Briefly, what happened was that our previous owner cited revenue issues for closing down the Beat after a quarter. And we, Melissa and I, have then spent the past year obtaining ownership of the thing so that the thing I tweeted can be a reality for us. Yeah.
So take us inside a little bit. What was involved in obtaining ownership?
It was mostly just a negotiation with the previous owners who were kind enough to consider what that we were interested in pushing forward on our own. And so we were able to just kind of discuss it. It took a while. It's a complicated thing to own it, but we were able to negotiate ownership of it. The day we were announced to be closed, we were sort of moved from mourning to organizing within 30 seconds or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I cried for a little bit and I think Brandon was like, well, I'm done.
I was done, but then I also said that I don't like to lose.
Yes.
And so we would get it back somehow. Yeah.
Why is it so important to you to do this?
The need was still so clearly there. Like, we just constantly, from the moment it was announced, like while we were still working, people were telling us how much they enjoyed the paper, how, you know, they felt like it was really reflecting what they felt, like the way that they saw Baltimore, and kind of feeling strengthened by that and reinforced by that. And I think around the time we were open, there were a bunch of, you know, national layoffs of journalists everywhere. Pretty much now, like as we've been working to reopen, there's been layoffs everywhere. So there has to be people that are trying other things. The current model seems to not be working. So it just seems like we have to try something. Like, the need is there for more stories.
So let's talk about staffing. How will the new Beat be staffed?
You're looking at them, Sheila. it's us two. And then, to be clear, the previous staff was three people. So it wasn't that much more ambitious than we are now. And so the staff isn't quite the different. The only big issue is we have less of a freelance budget. And so it mostly means that I think our content will not be as immediately robust as it was. We'll be more maybe long-form stuff that Lisa and I want to do, and more investigative reporting coupled with more sort of service journalism. So depending on how much money we end up raising, that will help pay for freelancers and stuff here and there.
You intend to work with journalism schools in the area?
Yes. A big tenet of what we want to do is education. You know, once the original version of the paper closed, we really started rethinking what we wanted to do. We wanted to really like move very intentionally. So education has always been like super important for Brandon and I, you know, talking to kids that want to be journalists, talking to, you know, adults, maybe people who have had other complete other careers or jobs, because we know the facts are that journalism is still very white, very upper class, even though, you know, you don't get paid upper class wages, but you have to be. It's easier when you are, you come from means to be a journalist. So, you know, we've been working with the program Writers in Baltimore Schools, figuring out ways. We've been talked with people from Morgan. We have a really good relationship with students from Johns Hopkins University who've been doing amazing work. There's all these great schools in the area. There's Towson, there's Morgan, and they all offer journalism programs. But what motivation is it for any of these kids to stay here? Because there's no jobs.
So you mentioned if we raise enough money, where is the funding coming from?
Currently, the funding is coming from a Patreon, which is an online sustainability service where you can donate money. We're currently asking for $5 a person, so we're being pretty modest about it. Our big ultimate goal down the line would be if 1,000 people gave us $5 each, we'd have a $5,000 a month.
This is a monthly thing.
Yeah, you get five. Yeah, and right now we're hovering a little under like $1,400, which is not, and about 280 people or so, and which isn't bad for something that hasn't existed yet, you know. So that's the main way, and then we're talking to some underwriting opportunities and some folks that want to give us grants and things like that. But we really wanted to start with subscribers through this Patreon, because then it was sort of this bedrock of community support that's really important to us, that we're sort of answering first and foremost to our, you know, primary readers, people who care about us, to give us $5. And they're giving us $5 because they want to. Everyone gets access to the news. We want news to be free, but it's sort of a core group of people that care enough to give us $5 a month, which we really appreciate. So that's where our initial money's coming from.
So I don't hear you talk about advertisers in this business model.
No. We'll be a nonprofit. So we'll operate with some underwriting, which, you know, kind of reflects advertising. But our plan is not having to answer to advertisers. And one of our reasons for that is related to being a nonprofit as well, which is a concern about, especially when you're online only, which we are now. We're no longer in print. We want to be in print one day. We need to start small. Is that you start to, with advertising, that kind of thing, it comes like a game of metrics and clicks. And we've seen how that really damages news, and we'd like to try to avoid that. That, you know, you're selling advertising because you're getting this many page views. You start to kind of create this world of clicks, and you have to create a certain amount of content. We'd like to just create good journalism and service a core group of people that want to read us, and see how we can grow from there. And the idea being that we're sustainable because we're basing it on what money we get. Like that's going to determine how much we do. Like, and it certainly also is a way of, for the city to tell us whether we're needed or not.
And we will link to that Patreon account.
That'd be great.
Lisa, I want to pick up on exactly the point that Brandon just made. I remember very clearly that when we talked, as the Beat's first incarnation was getting underway, you spoke about how important it was to publish a physical newspaper that people could read, even if they couldn't afford an internet connection. And now the new Beat will be, at least for now, online only. So talk about that.
I mean, I would love to have a paper right now, a physical paper. Just, I feel just as strongly now as I did when I first told you that. But the reality is that I just don't have the money to pay for it. So we have to do what we have to do. Like, as Brandon mentioned, we really are planning for some time in the future to figure out how to do print. Because again, print's important. Everybody doesn't have access to a smartphone at all times. Everyone doesn't have access to a laptop or internet, especially in a city like Baltimore.
But you're looking at some other delivery mechanisms, a podcast?
Yes. So one of the first things we decided about this is that we're not calling it a newsletter. We're calling it an outlet, a media outlet, because really that means it can be whatever we want it to be. It can be a podcast. It can be maybe documentaries one day. It can be educational events that we want to start planning. So it is what we can imagine it to be.
So what is your long-term view for the Beat? What's your pie in the sky wish for this new Beat?
The idea would be to create a small functional newsroom with a few people, create some jobs, and build some relationships and then start to have print products and be a serious, sustainable, long-term media outlet in the city.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you add to that?
I don't want it to be small. I want it to be big. The thing that I tell people about this is, like, I have very big dreams, but we're just moving at a slow pace because we don't want to make mistakes. I imagine a thing where we have a newsroom that looks like Baltimore, that's a sustained newsroom, that's where people aren't afraid that they're going to lose their jobs, you know. People can actually raise a family while being a journalist, which is kind of impossible right now. Like, I just imagine some kids in Baltimore City that were, like, their little nerdy bookworms like I was, and one day being able to say that they can stay in their city and write about their city in a way better way than I can or most of the people probably working in the city can and have a job.
It's a big dream. We need to take a quick break here. Brandon Soderberg is managing editor of Baltimore Beat. Lisa Snowden-McRae is editor-in-chief. Today is the rebirth of the Alternative Weekly. It's online now. After the break, we'll get a preview of the first issue.
The On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. The Alternative Weekly Baltimore Beat is vibrating again after a year of silence. We're talking with managing editor Brandon Soderberg and editor-in-chief Lisa Snowden-McRae. Lisa, what's the cover story for the first issue?
I did a story on the group Out for Justice here in Baltimore City. They're a nonprofit, and they advocate for people who are incarcerated and formerly incarcerated. So they are run by Nicole Hansen. She's a young woman here in Baltimore. Very, very passionate, very driven, always in Annapolis, advocating for people who basically can't always advocate for themselves.
And why did you want to shine a light on that?
Well, she contacted me a few months ago and said they were going to be working on getting some legislation passed about post-incarceration centers for women. She said that there's lots of those services for men, way less so for women. And, you know, for a lot of times, women are the ones who, you know, it isn't just them when they're getting out of prison oftentimes. It's them and their families. So that adjustment period is really, really important for them. So they're in Annapolis right now advocating so that women can get the things that they need. I went down to Annapolis for a kind of press event that they did a few weeks ago, and one woman spoke and said she knew that her release was coming up. She knew that a stipulation of her release was that she had to be in a drug treatment facility and didn't know how that was going to happen for a very long time. So she was sitting there. She was nervous. She was scared and, you know, didn't know if when she got out she was going to go right back in for violating her probation. So I think that what Out for Justice is doing is making sure that those things can be a lot more streamlined and simple so that once people get out, they can start their transition back into kind of like real society and get a really good first foot back into the second part of their lives.
Should I ask the managing editor what else will be in the first issue?
So we have an op-ed by Lawrence Brown of Morgan State University about Delegate Lasante, who recently was said to have said the N-word and that sort of controversy that's come about and the demands for her to step down. A project that I've been working on for a long time we'll have some updates on, which was a cannabis arrest project that I did that had some effect on some decisions the state's attorney did. We'll be posting all of the data that we gathered through public information for that. I'll be analyzing that a little more and giving readers a chance to mess with that data as they want to. And then we'll have some, some more service journalism kind of things like, these are some public events, city and community and activist events happening in the city this week into next.
The Pew Research Center released data last year that shows 23% decrease in journalism jobs across all media in the past decade, and The biggest losses, measured at 45%, were in newspaper newsrooms. So what gives you confidence that this new version of The Beat will succeed?
Bringing it back to what Brandon tweeted many months ago is that we own the thing. The thing that makes journalism nationwide troubling is not the people that do the work. It's the people that own the newspapers. You know, we look here in Baltimore, Tribune is giving, you know, these executives these golden parachutes, while people that work for the Sun and, you know, for the Capitol make nothing. So we hope to avoid that very much.
Yeah, I don't want a golden parachute. No. I'd much rather give my golden parachute to someone else. I mean, City Paper, to be clear, was, as I yelled about here before, was profitable and it was closed. It just wasn't profitable enough. I mean, you have the most recent round of layoffs have been online layoffs, BuzzFeed, HuffPost, Vice. Thousands of people get laid off there. Those companies are making money. They're not making enough money by some sort of randomly decided profit margin they need to hit. And that's seems to me is the major change in newspapers, more than the death of print or anything, is you have these sort of hedge fund people and these corporate people that used to not run newspapers and that now expect a newspaper to have a 20 or 30% profit margin when that's just never been the case. And so we want to operate very differently from that in every way. But one of the most is that we understand this is a small and sustainable business, that's how it works, or not even a business in our sense. But you make a little bit of money in a lot of different ways, and you can keep going forward that way. You can't expect to make 20%, 25% profit on a newspaper ever. That's just like, I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. And I feel like sometimes when we have these studies about what's happening with media, that's kind of the biggest thing, is like hedge fund guys are running these things down, they're destroying them.
Well, I hope you keep in touch with us while you're making this happen.
We will. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Lisa Snowden-McRae is editor-in-chief of the revived alternative weekly Baltimore Beat. Brandon Soderberg is managing editor. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we have a link to The Beat, its first issue, available online today. Also a link to how you can become a Beat patron. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on The Record.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.